Today is Sunday, October 21st, and this is class number 5 out of 8 in the fall series on the four foundations of mindfulness. And we're deep into the mindfulness of objects of mind. So this is exercises 17, 18, and 19. 17 and 18 being the same exercise. So would someone like to read exercise 17? Janine, would you like to read that?
Observing internal formations. He is aware of the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind, and aware of the form, sound, smell, taste, touch, objects of mind. And he is aware of the internal formations which are produced in dependence on these two things. He is aware of the birth of a new internal formation and is aware of abandoning an already produced internal formation. And he is aware when an already abandoned internal formation will not arise again.
Mary, would you like to read 19? 17 and 18 are the same.
Overcoming guilt and fear. When agitation and remorse are present in him, he is aware. Agitation and remorse are present in me. When agitation and remorse are not present in him, he is aware. Agitation and remorse are not present in me. When agitation and remorse begin to arise, he is aware of it. When already arisen, agitation and remorse are abandoned, he is aware of it. When agitation and remorse already abandoned will not arise again in the future, he is aware of it.
Okay. So just looking at those words, agitation and remorse. So I take it that fear causes agitation and guilt causes remorse. So the first exercise is about the fetters. You know, this word fetter is a knot, means knot. The knots that get created in us from wrong perceptions. And then the second one is about working with the latent roots, you know, kind of the deeper enmeshed knots that are in us that we may have carried for a long, long time, and they lie deep in our consciousness. And, you know, it's inevitable that knots and fetters get created because our perception is not clear and because we interact with this world. And we aren't fully armored or fully equipped, especially as children. We're quite vulnerable. And even, you know, as Karen said, we carry the child inside us that's quite vulnerable. And so, you know, we come up against things. I was just thinking, I woke up in the night and this memory came to me of a very challenging time in my life. And I was in a really vulnerable place and I was striking out trying to get my act together and start something new. And I was traveling and I went to spend the night with a friend who I hadn't seen for a while. And it was really, really difficult. It was exactly what I didn't need. And it was just, I had to really learn how to take care of myself, already vulnerable, and then come in against something else. And, you know, this was, you know, something challenging emotionally and psychologically, but, you know, so many people have much more difficult situations, much more challenging situations they're faced with again and again. And so whatever they can do, whatever we need to do to survive, we create inside us. You know? And then perhaps later, when we're through that situation, when we're grown, when we have more ability to, you know, deal with our situation, we still have those knots. We still operate from those reactive places because they're so deeply ingrained in us. So this is part of identifying these internal formations that, as Mary said, are constantly being created, and also are there and kind of fueling and coloring the way we see the world. So this is all really exciting because we have the potential to untie those knots, you know, bit by bit, and to keep new ones from forming. So the Buddha says to practice like this. He says, one knows how an arisen fetter has arisen. So we see something coming up in us, we see a reaction, and we're aware, oh, you know, that's a reaction from fear or from whatever. How an arisen fetter can be removed with our mindfulness, and how a future fetter can be prevented from arising. So this is how the Buddha practiced. This is how he said, what I did to remove these internal formations, these knots, you know, that limit me. And the reason to do this is because he said 100% of our suffering is caused by these fetters. It's caused by our wrong perceptions that then get created into these stories. So it's really important if we want to stop suffering. And it's really a wonderful opportunity. So the Buddha, you know, when he was asked what he taught, the Buddha said, all I teach is suffering and the end of suffering. And that's what he said. And that you'll see that in the Four Noble Truths, which near the end of the class we'll go through briefly. You know, first identify. We identify a fact. Because if we can't identify something, if we're not aware of something, then we're lost, you know. But if we can say, I'm unhappy, I'm not feeling right, if I can identify an unsatisfactoriness to where I am, then I have a starting place to begin to investigate and to begin with, to work with. So this is really, you know, people say, oh, the Buddha was so negative, you know, he just talked about suffering, you know. But actually, it's the key to freedom, because the first step is to be aware, you know, that you are confused. If you're lost, if you're driving around trying to find some place, and you're lost, but you don't know you're lost, you know, you don't have a hope. But as soon as you go, oh my gosh, I'm really lost, then you can come back and you have a place to start. So that's what it is, that the waking up process is waking up to the fact that, you know, this needs to be, you know, the rudder needs to be adjusted. The direction of my life needs to be fine-tuned to some degree, because I'm not getting the results. I'm not going exactly where I want to go. And so he's showing us how to do that. So ignorance, reactivity, and confusion are the basis of all of our knots. And of course, mindfulness is the key. That's why we come back over and over again and practice mindfulness. You know, we just come home to our breathing, we settle in. And as we begin to settle, clarity begins to arise, even if the clarity is just like, I'm really lost, I'm really confused, I'm really not feeling well. That is the beginning of clarity. And then if a knot forms, you know, if we're mindful in a situation, and say we have an interaction with another person, and some reactivity comes up in us, then if we're aware, we can realize, oh, there's something going on here, I'm feeling uncomfortable, I'm reacting, I'm, you know, then we can bring our presence and our mindfulness to it, and then the knot doesn't have to form. We may not be totally clear and at peace all the time, but if we're just aware, setting our intention that we don't want to add to these limiting and false ideas that we have of ourselves and the world, this is a path of freedom. So there's a practice that we do sometimes called beginning anew. It's a practice that they do in our Thais monasteries regularly because they live together very closely. And so every 2 weeks, the residents, the monastic residents, get together and they do this practice of beginning anew. And it comprises several steps, and I'm not going to talk about it in detail, but it's available. The steps are all laid out. It begins with offering appreciation, and then it goes to offering whatever beneficial regrets you have, whatever you've seen in yourself that you've done or haven't done that may not have been the most skillful thing to do, that may have caused someone harm or the community harm. And then you speak your own hurts after you have that whole sort of foundation. Then you speak your hurts, and it just keeps things aired out. As you can see, it keeps those internal knots from forming. You know, if you're rubbing shoulders and living with someone day after day, month after month, and they look at you funny, you know, I mean, you know, so many of us think, why did she look at me funny? You know, and it usually has nothing to do with you. It usually does, but we personalize it. And then we begin to form this knot inside us. Oh, it's because she this, and then I didn't do that, and then now, and yeah, I knew she was that way. And, you know, we have this whole story forms about this person. And if you just sit down and she said, you know, I was really feeling ill that day, you know, and you go, oh, okay, it really didn't have anything to do with me, you know. So it's really powerful. And it's a really important that we remember, and we'll continue through these classes to learn different ways to apply this practice to our daily lives that really helps us change. There are seven factors of awakening the Buddha identified. One of them is one that we studied last time, which was investigation of dharmas. And next week, we're going to go through all the seven factors of awakening, which I think is this great laundry list of, you know, if you want to completely wake up, just focus on these seven things, you know? So investigation of dharmas, that's kind of the wisdom factor, you know? That's the insight. That's the clarity. When you let the dust settle and you're present, and then you go, oh, yeah. Really, that look she gave me had nothing to do with me. And then it helps us release and see those latent roots that are in us too. And we go, oh yeah, I tend to always have that kind of reaction. You know, that really shows a pattern in me. And I wonder where that came from. And I'd really like to let that go. And so that's the process. So we allow our mindfulness to release us from these patterns that kind of give us these limiting ways of seeing and responding to the world. And we have latent roots that we may never know where we got them. You know, we have a tendency for this or that. And because we, you know, this is interbeing. We got things from our ancestors. You know, we can look at a picture of our grandmother, our grandfather, and see qualities or identify, you know, looks and stuff that are similar, but we have ancestors back there that have whole life stories. And so they have internal formations, and they also have wonderful talents and abilities, and, you know, they may pop up in our lives, and we may never know who they are or where they came from, you know. But the unwholesome, unskillful ones are part of our job to work on. And the skillful and wholesome ones are gifts that we need to appreciate and utilize. So the novelist Siri Husbed said, after all, we, none of us, can ever untangle the knot of fictions that make up that wobbly thing we call a self. And there's a little caveat to that, because the Buddha did that. So it's not none of us. It's like all of us have the potential actually to do this. And so that's the model for us, that we have that same ability, we have that same potential to untangle these knots. So it's good to use our mindfulness and our curiosity and our investigative abilities that we've been developing all this time to really sort of hone in closely, maybe with a magnifying glass, and look at what our experience is like when it's colored by these knots, by these internal formations. You know, what does it feel like when we have an aversion is sort of in us, or when grasping is in us? And it's really good to feel it energetically. And it's really wonderful if we can begin to recognize them in their infancy, as we've said, because it sure is a lot easier to let go. I mean, I'm a knitter, you know, so I can see the ball of yarn, you know, it's like I see this little knot forming. It's like, I've learned I've stopped right now, because if I don't, it's going to take me, instead of 2 minutes, 30 minutes to undo the accumulation of knots that happen. So we learn to do that, to just stop right then. So let's do a little meditation, just a short meditation. And we'll start with one sound of the bell. And we follow our breathing. And we're aware that when we sit and follow our breathing, our body is the base or the organ, and our breath is the object. So bring to mind something that attracts you. Something that you have the perhaps subtle feeling of leaning into. And feel the sensations in your body. And just take note of what that leaning into, what that grasping for feels like. And now bring to mind something that causes you irritation. That there's a slight turning away from, not wanting to be in your world. And identify the sensations in your body that come with that feeling, that mental formation. And now bring to mind something that's confusing to you. And feel what that feels like in your body. Perhaps it's a sense of overwhelm. And now release that and just come home to following your breath and find the place in you that has no preference. It doesn't need anything to be different than what it is right in this moment.